Chapter 2. What's your agenda?
There cannot be a crisis next week. My schedule is already full. Henry Kissinger.
Hey, wait a minute. This isn't about my child, is it? This is about me, is an inevitable remark from a parent in one of my classes. It may appear that I'm placing the blame for a child's behavior on the parent. Not at all. In fact, I'm saying that the parent is not responsible for the child's behavior. The parent is responsible for her reaction to the behavior. It's what is going on in our own heads that is the culprit when our buttons get pushed. The mother of a child who is hitting is not responsible for the hitting. She is responsible for how she reacts to the hitting, which in turn impacts her child's subsequent behavior. If she were to take responsibility for the hitting, she would not be effective in handling the situation because she would be focused on feeling responsible. She might feel embarrassed in front of others, angry that her daughter made her look bad, and fearful that the child is becoming a bully, all of which are the mother's agenda and can interfere with helping her daughter stop. What time of day it is, what has just happened, what she has to do next, and how she's feeling will all play into how this mother handles the hitting. All this she is responsible for. The agenda puzzle. We function every minute of every day with an agenda. Our agenda is made up of our thoughts and perceptions, the standards of behavior we hold, the beliefs we have about ourselves and others, as well as our circumstances and physical and emotional state. Our agenda determines how we're going to react to a situation in the present moment, how sensitive our buttons are. Imagine your agenda as a puzzle. Each piece is a picture, even though incomplete by itself. Each piece is a part of the whole. The whole picture is a sum of its pieces. Some pieces give more clues to the whole picture than others. Some pieces give clues to other pieces. What I need to buy at the grocery store, how little time I have to get there, my frustration with my son over not getting his coat on, the hopelessness I feel about the argument I had with my husband this morning, how resentful I am about missing dinner with my friends, what a mess my house is, my guilt over not having called my sick aunt for over a month, and how awful my hair looks, are only a fraction of the thoughts that occupy my mind at any given moment. And these only concern the present. We want our children's behavior to change so that our agenda is not disrupted or inconvenienced. After all, what thoughts we have on our minds, what we have to do, what we're worried about is what matters. If I have a report due at work tomorrow, my house is a disorganized mess, and my child is being defiant, my agenda is loaded. So if I'm tired, have not started the report, have no time to clean, have an empty refrigerator, know how my husband feels about disorganization, and my 4-year-old has left his toys all over the living room, guess who I will take it out on when he says, "I can't pick up my toys, I'm too tired." In this state of mind, with this agenda, it is highly unlikely that I will be considerate of my son, handle the situation effectively, or understand his agenda. Your child's agenda. Usually, if we are conscious of our child's agenda at all, it's only in relation to how it affects us. Seldom do we spend the energy to step out of our own agenda to see what's going on with our child. But children experience stress, fear, and exhaustion just like we do. They put expectations on themselves just like we do. They sometimes have difficulty trying to figure out how to make friends, how to be like their big brother, how to get their parents to accept them the way they are. But they don't have the words or the complex understanding of feelings to tell us what is going on. All they have is their behavior. They worry and wonder about what we're going to say when they want something, when they explore new territory, when they make a mistake, when they become independent. Their well-being is critically dependent on our approval, but their desire to follow their impulses is often stronger. Young children are affected by temperament, hunger, and tiredness. They often feel out of control, scared, and powerless when the big people in their lives tell them what to do. Older children desperately want their independence but are scared of the responsibility that it brings. Children of any age have agendas.
Your child's agenda is as important to her as yours is to you. When we acknowledge the importance of their agendas, we're parenting respectfully, our best bet at earning their respect in return. Even when their impulses are getting the best of them, we need to understand and accept them, if not their behavior. If a child's agenda has been acknowledged, even a 2-year-old building a block tower will feel the respect and thus be more likely to cooperate with a parent who needs to get to work on time. I know how much you want to finish your tower. You must feel mad when I say it's time to stop playing and get ready for daycare. You can put 2 more blocks on and then set them up so they're ready to work on as soon as we get home. This is not a guarantee of happy cooperation, but the likelihood of getting out the door on time is far greater than when you think your agenda is the only one. Thomas was alone for the weekend with Amanda, 8, and Jared, 12, while his wife was away on business. Thomas wanted to do something that would be fun for all 3 of them, and so he decided to take them skiing. Early Saturday morning, they left to spend the day on the slopes. No sooner had they arrived, bought lift tickets, and got themselves on the chairlift, when Amanda started whining and complaining, a familiar button for Thomas. "Every time we get out in public or off on an adventure, she starts her griping," Thomas complained to his buttons class. "Nothing is ever good enough for her."
"Daddy, I don't want to go on that trail. It's too hard for me. You're making me do it, and I don't want to." "She was driving me nuts."
Having seen Amanda zip down the trail with ease in the past, Thomas was puzzled, but more than that, he was angry.
"Can we go to the lodge? I'm cold. My boots hurt. How come we always have to go on the trails Jared wants to go on?"
Jared called her a baby and suggested that she just get lost. Amanda screamed. Thomas was trying hard to contain his anger, but soon he blew.
"Why can't you ever be happy with what we do? You always whine and complain. You're ruining things for everybody else. Do you realize how lucky you are to get to spend a day skiing? What is the matter with you anyway? I have a good mind to take you home right now."
Amanda started crying and yelled, "It's no fair. Jared always gets his way. You never do what I want." Jared fueled the fire with, "That is so not true, and you know it. If anything, you always get your way because you crab and moan so damn much. You're a pain in the butt." Everything spun out of control, and Thomas's plans for a great time crumbled. Now he was furious at both kids and took them to the lodge for a break. After a change of atmosphere, warm toes, and a little food, Thomas was able to see the scene from a better perspective. "While the kids were eating, I started thinking about our class when we were talking about agendas, and I realized how strong mine had been for this day," he said. "I knew I couldn't stand to be home alone with the 2 kids for the whole weekend. It had been weeks since I'd been skiing, and I thought I'd be giving them a treat. But my agenda was to go skiing and to make them think I was the best dad in the world for taking them. When Amanda complained, my buttons got pushed." After this realization hit, Thomas said to the kids, "What do you think we need to do to make the rest of the day enjoyable?" Jared said, "I want to ski the hard slopes without Amanda." Amanda said, "I just want to be with you, Daddy." Thomas suggested that they look into a private lesson for Jared, something he had promised a long time ago. Jared was thrilled. Amanda got to spend an hour alone with her dad and ended up choosing the trail she hadn't wanted initially. After the hour lesson, the 3 of them skied peacefully together for the rest of the day and went home happy and tired. Thomas said to the class, "I realized on the way home how easy it would have been to avoid the first hour of anger and frustration if only I had been more aware of everyone's agendas. If I had taken this into consideration on the first chairlift ride, or even asked before we left home what they wanted to do once we got to the mountain, I could have diffused the situation before it escalated. I could have acknowledged Amanda's need to slow down and let Jared take a run or two on his own while Amanda and I took our time on an easy trail until she got her ski legs." When Thomas was able to step back, he could see that Amanda's whining and complaining wasn't out of ingratitude or intent to make them all miserable. It was because she was feeling rushed and pressured. Her temperament demanded slower transition time. Thomas realized that he often forgets this. He expects her to respond quickly and easily the way Jared does. Two separate children, two separate temperaments, three separate agendas. Our past is an important piece of the puzzle. Aside from present-time agendas, what and who we have brought with us from our past are permanent aspects of the agenda puzzle affecting our emotional state and thus our reactions. When your child exhibits a strong will and persistent nature by resisting your requests, you may hear your own mother's or father's voice calling out from the attic, "How dare you! Don't you ever talk back to me again, or you'll wish you hadn't," might be a familiar refrain that subconsciously loads your agenda, provoking you to explode with anger and dump the same words onto your child. It might have been just a look or the knowledge that your wishes were never considered. Naturally, it feels fundamentally wrong when your child does what you never could. These patterns of behavior and parental expectations that we were brought up with form the undercurrent of our agendas. Anything present day rests on top. Our buttons get pushed when that undercurrent is activated. As we go farther, we will explore these fundamental aspects of our agendas that get in our way of effective parenting, causing our buttons to get pushed. Specifically, we will focus on our perceptions and assumptions, the standards of behavior we hold for ourselves and our children, and the beliefs we continue to have about ourselves from our experiences as children. But first, we'll look at how our best intentions get lost in the gap.